This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast about the fun that we have in our theaters, the experiences, the sights, the sounds, and this week, not so much about the fun. We'll get to that. We're going to get to that. This was a tough one, and you're going to hear me say that quite a few times, actually. So let's get to the pleasantries. My name's DJ. This is Brightside Home Theater. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT. You can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And you can go to the website, check out this podcast, all the other podcasts that I've done there. They have links to videos. They have links to the sound, just the audio. And there's also a link to get to YouTube. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you can go there, hit subscribe. And that is brightsidehometheater.com, if I didn't say that already. And there's also links there to go to Patreon. Patreon supporters, we'll get to that in a second. But if you would like to support the podcast monetarily, you can go to Patreon. Just look, type patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, or just go to the podcast, click on the big red button to help donate. You can, Patreon will take any amount up from $1 on up, and they'll give most of it to me, keep a little bit for themselves, blah, 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 blah. And it's a way that you can help support the podcast monetarily, help me pay for the streaming and all the programs I use, but not necessary at all. But this week,
Moving on up.
I have a new Patreon supporter this week. Thank you to Vincent F. Vincent gets me off that unlucky number 13. I now have 14 Patreon supporters. Thank you to all 14 of my Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. The money goes to use every month, believe me. And thank you. And another way to support the podcast, follow me on Twitter. Join in on the conversation. Sean this week is the new Twitter follower. Thank you, Sean. And thank you to everybody on Twitter. Having a blast over there. Lots of great conversations. I think it's the best place to have the conversations. I have a comment this week from YouTube. I just don't frequent YouTube as much. So the best way to get a hold of me is Twitter for quick conversations. Or, of course, you can email me. I have plenty of conversations going on there through email. Some private back and forth, whatever, but questions that don't really pertain to the environment. So I'll answer questions on that as well. But I like to keep this podcast to the environment. There, obviously, we know the HT guys and AV Rant, they'll answer your questions on gear and tech. So I leave that to them in the podcast form. But I'm happy to answer them. And if I can't answer it, I direct you towards them. So, also this week, thank you for everybody. I hope everybody's enjoying the morning tweets I'm putting out, the stuff that I watch before I head off to work. A lot of good feedback on that. So hope everybody's enjoying that. And thank you for all the feedback on that. Let's get to some listener comments this week. First up, we have a question from Francis. Francis asked, I don't know whether you are a 3D movie fan, but which ones blew you away for its size, for its 3D, and, or let me start that again, blew you away for its 3D, and are you going to do an episode on your top 5 3D movies? A few of mine are Gravity, Dread, Avatar, Doctor Strange at the beginning, where they're fighting on the buildings with the perspective always changing. And I replied, my top 5 are Avatar, Dread, Gravity, Spider-Man Into the Multiverse, and Alita Battle Angel. And some of those could be interchanged, except for probably the top 2. Those kind of are locked in for me. Avatar, I don't know if I just call it because it was the first really great one, and I have a hard time coming off of that being the best 3D experience. There's just so much in that movie that's just so great in 3D. Actually compared it to the 4K, and the 4K on that is excellent. Dread is just so good, and so is Gravity. They're just so, but I think Dread's just a little bit more dynamic because of the comic book atmosphere that they can do a little bit more. And it was very artistically done. There's a lot to that movie if you watch the extras on Dread and listen to the commentary. There was some technologies developed and invented for 3D wise for that movie and because of that movie. So that's why I have that at number two. Gravity's number three. It's just, it is really the way to watch that movie. It's that depth of field, especially if you watch it with the silent version without the sound, which is what it's like in space. That's fantastic. And Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, sorry, not multiverse, Spider-Verse is just, that's a piece of art, the way that they did that in 3D. And there are times when I'm watching the 4K version that sometimes it even looks 3D the way the art was drawn. So then when you see it in 3D, it really pops out. And then, of course, Alita Battle Angel, another one which is so heavily CGI'd, but much like Dread, is just such, it's a work of art as far as 3D goes. All of them look great in 4K. I don't believe I've seen Gravity in 4K yet. Maybe I can't remember if that one's in 4K because it's so heavily great in 3D. But I think I just did my podcast on my top five right there. But I probably will revisit in the future, maybe have a guest on that loves 3D as well. I know a few. And we'll talk about that. So thanks, Francis. Great question. YouTube comment talking about Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch says, I love this movie. It's so unique. Have both theatrical and extended cut. Don't understand why so many people hated it, but don't matter. I loved it. And that comes from Jonathan Marshall over on YouTube. Thanks, Jonathan, for the comment. I love all the comments I'm getting over there. People commenting on my t-shirts. People are sending me their gear. YouTube's doing really well for me. I'm really enjoying it. Expanding our audience, having a lot of fun with that. So thanks, Jonathan, for that. I love that movie as well. I have another comment coming up on that, so I'll talk more about Sucker Punch in a little bit. We have Steve George at Brightside HT on the lookout for some new confectionery lines for hashtag Cinema George. Guess what I found? I'm proud to announce a new line for the snack bar, his personal snack bar, that is. And the good news is that if you look at the expiration date, you've got plenty of time to pay me a visit. And he sent pictures of Junior Mints. He knows that is my favorite, my go-to candy when I'm watching a movie, my popcorn, my Junior Mints, and my Coke. Perfect. I don't indulge in those all the time. Otherwise, the amount of time I'm in my theater, I probably wouldn't be able to fit in this chair anymore, or into the theater. But when I do, those take me back to being a kid. Just that feel. And now George has those. Flight restrictions are loosening up. Who knows what could happen? I might be dropping in on taking a trip over the pond, as they say. That would be so much fun. That is a goal of mine, not just to Steve's, but to, I'd just love to visit theaters and have that be a part of this podcast. So we'll see where that takes us, but the Junior Mints, George. Yeah. I see you got two first names, Steve. The Junior Mints are very enticing. But you don't need Junior Mints to get me over there with the neatness that you have. Neatness is cleanliness is next to godliness, my buddy. All right, Adriano, a movie that a lot of people would say is way too much style over substance. To that, I say, why the hell not? Give me all the Zack Snyder spectacle. Adriano the nerd commenting on Sucker Punch. I know. I can't. How do you look at a piece of art and say too much style? It's art. There's no such thing as too much style and not enough substance. The style is the substance. That does not make sense. And if that's how you feel, then you don't get it. It's like, what was it? It's not a documentary. It is style. It's art. All of these movies are style. The movie I'm talking about today, Saving Private Ryan, has a style. It's not as stylized as Sucker Punch, but it has a style. It has a feel. It's supposed to feel like a movie from the 40s. It's supposed to feel like almost documentary-like from the 40s. But that is a style. There's a reason that they shot it the certain way. There's a reason people use film like Quentin Tarantino over digital. It's style. Don't ever come to me and tell me something has too much style to be a movie. That is the point. Doesn't make sense. So, but you can't come to me. I'll just yell back at you, just like I just did. See how mean I get? Next up, JRB Audio/Video Inc. at Brightside HD. Do you know if Michael Jackson's Moonwalker is available on 4K UHD? Asking because the visuals and the music in this will be absolutely amazing, and if in a Dolby Atmos setting. Yeah, most of Michael Jackson's stuff would be amazing in 4K with Dolby Atmos, from his music videos all the way to this, you know, Moonwalker. I'm not a big fan of the movie myself, but I would probably own it. I don't think it is out in 4K. I haven't seen any plans for it, but that would be fantastic. He was an artist himself. Disturbed Man, which most great artists really are. So it's sad to say, but yeah, everything he did was very artistic. So this, if we could expand on that a little bit more by getting a 4K with Atmos on this, that would be a lot of fun. Gets to emails. And the first up comes from Carl, and it's a YouTube video he sent. I'll put it in the show notes, a YouTube video of an IMAX film projector that is actually at the Maritime Aquarium right down in Connecticut. It's not far from me. I believe it's about 45 minutes away from me, and they're threading it, and they thread it and turn it on. And it is absolutely, it's just fun to watch. It's like kind of chilling to watch it. It's like, gives me goosebumps. I mean, you see what they have to go through, but Carl actually in the email made a joke saying maybe DJ will get this, a similar rig set up in his home theater, in my home theater. And it was, when you see this, I recommend clicking on the link and watching this video, but the space that it takes to play this is about the footprint of my house. It's like you walk across the room with the film and thread it through and redo it. And it's actually pretty funny. I actually said to him, I go, instead of saying go push play at the end of my podcast, I'll say, quote, now go spool the film, thread the film, load the film, create the tension, check the tension, sync the sound, double check the tension, and then push play. Oh, sorry. Then run into the room and sit down and enjoy. So it's really, they do all of that in the video, and it's really incredible to see. And it would be fun to get a demonstration, be able to see that firsthand. And maybe I'll figure out how to do that. I don't know. Emails this week, thank you. They all come through, my YouTube comments come through on email. So thank you to everybody that's liked, like Theo and Carl. Thank you, everybody that's, you know, liked my stuff or commented on it on YouTube. I really appreciate that. You know, that helps grow it. People see that people are talking, gets more people talking, and that's a lot of fun. Let's see, what else do we got? We got most of Dead Pixels in Army of the Dead. I had an email from Carl on that. I didn't see that. I don't know about that. I like to absorb it. I'm sure AV Ran or HT guys will comment on that. I didn't notice that. I don't even know what that means. So that should do it for that. I got an email this week about movie scenes. We have a movie scene this week. And this week it comes from G. Cornell. And he says, just listen to your review of Monster Hunter. You didn't mention the scene, so let me. Where I hit pause to look for a few seconds at 47:39. What I would put on if a pro calibrator was over and evaluating my projection. Excellent color, natural, fully saturated, and well lit. Miller's face is razor sharp. A 1080p disc was being played for the image that he sent. So yeah, that's, I love that movie. And there's some really crisp pictures, shots in that movie. And especially her, I didn't mention this scene, but I know I mentioned one scene in particular where they got in close on her eye, and that was fantastic. So thanks, G. Cornell. Really appreciate that. That's all I have for scenes for this week. I'm a little hesitant right now because I've got to get to the movie for this week. And as I stated earlier, this was a tough one. This is like my 10th take at doing this. I don't even know if this take is going to take, because this is probably one of the most, if not the most difficult movie I've had to break down. And I'm just breaking down the scene. We all know the scene. Everybody, you mentioned Saving Private Ryan in a home theater environment with home theater people. And we all know that opening scene. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But I got a DM a few weeks ago from Ryan, and his DM said, suggestion for a movie would be Saving Private Ryan. D-Day anniversary is coming up in a couple of weeks. It's also my birthday, and the first movie I ever watched in surround sound with my dad when it first came out. Got me hooked on home theater, and will most certainly be the first movie I fire up when my movie room is complete. Keep hammering thumbs up. And we went on and had a conversation back and forth. And he also mentioned that his dad mentioned, or not mentioned, but taught him all about the importance of D-Day. That's coming up on Sunday, June 6th, as this podcast comes out. And so I said to him, I go, how about I do the opening scene for that? And I'll break that down, which I haven't done it yet. We're doing it on the fly here, and I'm gonna break it down. I have my notes and my minutes and stuff. It's practically a movie unto itself. But here's where I'm conflicted. Home theater is, or this podcast and home theater is about the fun that we have in our theaters. In this movie, this opening scene is anything but fun. Home theater wise, it's a blast. But that's real. It happened. Those guys, they were reenacting something that actually happened. And it's very, very difficult. It's difficult for me to sit here and say, like, oh, wow, check out this. And oh, wow. And the boats are on the right and this and that. And it's like, this is so much out of the, it's like, I've watched the scene over and over. I've sat here trying to, I want to come at this with enthusiasm, and there is enthusiasm, but I want to do it like respectfully, because this isn't stuff to be made light of. It's not like, you know, I mean, in Star Wars, they blow up an entire planet, but that never really happened. So you can look at that and go, oh, that's horrible. But this here, it's like, this is something that it's close to my family. It's close to, without getting into it, because I'll have to stop and re-edit again. But there's so much here that I'm trying to do this respectfully. But it is a very difficult movie from beginning to end. So let's get to it. So the picture. Fantastic. I love the picture in this movie from beginning to end. I love the contrast. I thought the contrast seemed to be bumped up a little bit, not 300 contrast, but it seemed to be bumped up a little bit. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it made, you know, we have these drab colors, which gave it a feel of the time too. Like it was film from 1940 or the 40s. But then the colors were still popping off the screen. You had, like I said, nice contrast. I thought the HDR was really good, and a good sense of grain throughout this movie too, that I really, really enjoyed. Some of the pictures were really clear, but then but still had a little bit of grain. A lot of good detail there. I really, really enjoyed the picture, and the sound is Dolby Atmos. It is fantastic. We're going to break that down. We're going to get into that. But like I said, it's like, it just, the way that Spielberg used the sound here, the way that he moved it around the room, giving you the sense of being there, which is awful. It really brought you in, and it brought that emotion out of you of fear, of anguish, of like sympathy for the people that went through this, the people that survived it. There were times I'm looking and it's like, I won't get into that until we get into, well, obviously not spoilers, because most people have seen this movie. If you haven't, please do. But I feel funny saying it. Popcorn's popping. Let's have some fun. Let's get into some of these scenes. Like I said, it's like this movie, it's like we start the movie obviously with, as, all right, popcorn already is popping, it's Private Ryan. We know that. But the first time I saw this movie, we didn't know that. And they kind of allude to the fact that it's Tom Hanks's character. His name's John, I believe. You think it's them because they do the eye focus or focus in on their eyes. But it obviously, we know it's Matt Damon's character, Private Ryan. And that's emotional. But then at 4:30, we're on the beach and you can hear the waves coming in when they focus in on his face, on his eyes at the cemetery in Normandy. And you get that, you get a little bit of a feel of transition there, but then you hit the beach and apologize, we didn't hit the beach. Little disrespectful for the people that did hit the beach. So we're on the beach there. You can hear those waves going. And as the sound pans off of the beach where the waves are crashing, you get the sound moving off to the right as they go in. Then at 4:52, that's at 4:30 when we first get into the scene. At 4:52, we're watching the transport boats come through the water. And it's really nicely done how the front of the transport boat is on the right side of the screen and it's crashing against the waves as it's plowing through the water. And the way there's nice bass there's nice sound there of the waves crashing off to the right. They just keep going. But then the camera pans to the left. So the front of the boat is going to the right. And the sound pans appropriately. Now the sound is a little bit off screen. Pretty cool. Then we get inside the boat. We get inside the transport boat. And we're looking at Tom Hanks here. And he's got his canteen. His hands are shaking. Theme throughout the movie. Until they finally don't shake anymore. Sad. But the sound of the canteen, it's very, very clear with everything that's going on. It's like very centered, very clear. That was really, really well done. And then at 5:23, the camera's panning through the soldiers, pulling back. And off to the left side, you hear a soldier start to vomit. But he's not on camera yet, but it's like perfectly placed. And then as it pulls back, he's now on and he vomits again. And now you can hear, but it actually moves a little bit more to the center, the sound of him. Then a soldier on the right side, he goes and you hear that. And that's on the right side of the screen. And we're still inside the transport boats and but you can hear all the explosions around the room. This is where, right around here is where it really starts to pick up. And you hear those deep bass rumbles of the explosions hitting the water outside the transport boats. And what I thought was really well done is that they moved the sound, the emphasis of the explosions, to whichever side the soldier was on. So if they showed a soldier and he's right up against like the right side of your screen, which would be his left. So he's right up in the wall for the transport boat is right to his left, which is your right side of the screen, right? The sound of the explosion would be favored to the right side of your screen, like it's on the other side of that wall. Then the camera pans over and you see a soldier on the left side of your screen with the wall up against his right shoulder. And the sound is more heavily panned to the explosions are more heavily panned to the left side of your room. And I thought that was a really effective way of giving you that sense of being in there and what it must have been like. Like, I don't want to give up this wall because between me and this wall is those explosions. They very easily could have done an a la Twister thing and just had explosions going off everywhere. And that's going to happen. We'll get to that. But they very easily could have done that. But instead, I really think Spielberg did this on purpose. Sound designers did this on purpose to give you that sense of the soldiers like, I don't want to leave here. I don't want to leave this. Between me and this wall is those explosions. And I don't want that to, you know, I don't want to leave this wall. It really, really well done and gives you that sense of dread that that must have had. Then we get to 6 minutes and 20 seconds. The whistle goes off. The gate drops down and the explosions get louder. But they're drowned out by the intense bass, the little bit of hit, the thump of the bullets, the gunfire striking the soldiers, hitting the what are now bodies, the ricochet sounds of it hitting off of helmets, off of the transports. It's all just for like 6 seconds until we go inside one of the turrets. And the gunfire from the turret. So now we get the German point of view and the turrets on the left side. And you get that intense, really loud sound of that gun firing on the Allied troops coming to the beach. And it's on the left side of the room. And then all of it pans over and now there's another one on the right. Now the right side explodes with sound, you going back and forth. Really, really well done there. Then at 6:52, we get a beach explosion with really deep bass and like the sand you can hear going. Then we go underwater at 6:55. So the 6:52, I think that's the first beach explosion we get. All the other ones we had heard before that were in the water, and this one here hit the beach. Then now the troops are getting out of the transports. They're getting into the water. And this is a really, really nice contrast of picture and sound. So when we go under the water, everything gets muted. The sound, it sounds like you're underwater. Your whole room is engulfed in water and you hear the bullets are piercing through the water. Soldiers are dying, but you're hearing their moans, their groans, but it's all like it's underwater, everything there. And then we get that little bit of, we pop up above the water and you get the sound like that. Like all of a sudden everything's crystal clear, but so is the picture. And there are a couple of frames where actually you're seeing both. You're seeing above the water and below the water. So you get a really nice sense of the clarity above water and then the clarity, you know, how murky things look under the water. But then you go back under the water again. And then you come back up again. And it's the contrast. This is where I said earlier, the picture I thought had an extra bit of like a little bit more contrast boosted throughout this movie. And this is where it's really evident because you just get that nice, you know, contrast between being underwater and above the water. Really, really cool. Really well done there. At 7:45, we get ricochets and explosions. So now the troops are taking the beach. They're getting closer and we have those iron crosses in the water, but they're on the right side of the screen. And you're hearing the bullets that are being fired at them ricochet off of that. But there are explosions going off that are being lobbed over them. They're going off in the water on the left side of your screen. So you very, very intense. There's also a nice bass rumble throughout. And it's not consistent. It's not just a boo. It's the floor under you is going in different bass notes, like boom, 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 boom. Just like if you were on a beach that was being pelted with, you know, armor or whatever, the bombs, everything that's going off, just really, really crazy sounds. But if you watch this over and over, you'll be able to pick out all the different sounds that are going on. The first time you see it, it's so overwhelming. But watching it over and over, it actually gets more emotional because you see things that maybe you just didn't take in before. At 8:30, we get back into the turret nest and the exchange of gunfire there. We have you now, this time we're back in the turrets and it's firing and firing, but the second one is off to the right. And because it's further away, it sounds like it's further away. That was kind of cool. Not cool, but cool. You know what I mean? Like I said, this is very difficult. Also pay attention to the sea foam, the water, the contrast in the picture I thought was really cool. So water comes in on the beach, crashes, and you get that white sea foam, or you get the white of the water crashing onto the beach. Really nice detail there. And then at 9 minutes, all of that, again, I think all of this is part of it. It's like, it's just so, so well shot. The contrast is so well done. At 9 minutes, we get we get a couple of explosions on the beach, really deep, impactful explosions. As a matter of fact, the first one hits and it's just a really big boom right in front of you. And there's a soldier there. Nothing happens to him other than the fact that an explosion went off, I'm guessing, behind him, because if you look closely, the beach in front of him just sprays red and he just collapses. And it's just, you feel like you felt that explosion. Obviously he did, and he just collapses dead. But it's just like shrapnel just went through him and just killed him instantly. The next explosion, which is like 2 seconds after that, just as impactful, maybe even a little bit more poignant, a little bit more emphasis on the big bass part, that sends a soldier in pieces all over the place. And all of this is turning the beach red. So that, in contrast to what I just said earlier about how the ocean and you seeing the white waves and everything, well, now the beach is red. We're seeing red in the water. And here comes Tom Hanks up onto the beach. And this is where we're going to get a reprieve. At 9 minutes and 21 seconds, we get a quick little 1 minute reprieve where Tom Hanks is taking everything in. And it's just, the sound is muted. What he's looking at isn't muted. It's a little bit shaky at times, but it's very clear. He sees people exploding. He sees people being shot. He sees flamethrowers, tanks exploding on their backs. He sees a transport on fire, men on fire, all of this going on, but the sound is muted. And like I said, when the flamethrower explodes, it's still, you can hear it. It's just all muted. But I really feel like Spielberg did this to give us a break, for us to take this all in. In this scene here, I believe is where he sees a soldier walking with one arm missing and he's looking for his arm. And I saw that in the theater. I saw it every time. My wife's grandfather lost his arm at Battle of the Bulge. And all I can imagine is, that's what he went through. And you're like looking at these soldiers and you're like, the ones that died instantly, you're like, ooh, well, that was good for them. At least they didn't have to suffer. But now we're seeing all these soldiers suffering and those sounds are panning appropriately. They're going by soldiers that are screaming and it's panning across your room. I mean, it's just heart-wrenching. Then we get the sound coming back in with a soldier asking Tom Hanks, what do we do? What the hell do we do now, sir? And we get Tom Sizemore asking, you know, where do we go? And, oh, move your men off the beach, I think is what Tom Hanks says. And then it's, what's the rallying point? Anywhere but here. It's like, I mean, it just chaos going on all around. But the dialogue was fairly clear. And I say fairly clear because I don't think they wanted to make it super clear. But when you needed to hear stuff, I mean, you could understand everything perfectly. There was other dialogue between soldiers that was maybe a little bit more muddled, which it should be, but really, really well done with the dialogue. At 11:50, soldier dies right on the screen, kneeling in front of Tom Hanks. So Tom Hanks is talking with another soldier kind of to the left of the screen. And there's this one soldier. He's on the right side. He's looking off towards the right, and he's up like this. And all of a sudden, you get that slight clank to his helmet where he gets killed, and he starts to he slumps down. He doesn't fall forward. He doesn't fall back. He just slumps straight down. And then you get the bullets going into his body now. So you get the clank to the head and then the to his body. He's really, I mean, he's still there, but he's protecting Tom Hanks and the soldier he's talking to. But all of that sound takes place right on the right side of your screen, appropriately placed. What, that's a lot of detail for what's going on in the scene. And I'll get to in a few minutes, I'll get to one of the coolest things that I think really brings this all together. But at 12:50, we get another deep explosion that really rocks the room. It sends Tom Hanks to the ground. At the time, he was carrying or dragging a body, a person who's still alive. He was dragging them up, trying to protect them, and the sound goes muted and you get that ringing in your room like you would if a bomb went off near you. So the explosion goes off, Tom Hanks goes down, this ringing in the room, similar to when we were underwater earlier in the scene. And everything kind of goes quiet, but then it starts to come back. Tom Hanks gets up, grabs the soldier that he was dragging, and he falls down because he puts all the energy into dragging a full soldier, and it's only half of him. And right after that, we go, the scene goes from there where I think Tom Hanks talks to a soldier or something, and they have to move the rest of the way up the beach. And Tom Hanks gets up and we get a first person perspective of a soldier following Tom Hanks up the beach. And it's really pretty cool that, like, you can hear the bullets landing all around you. You can even hear the soldier grunting and breathing. And it's like, that's what gave me that, like, this is a first person account. It's not just a camera taking in everything that's going on. It's literally, you are one of the soldiers. Very, very powerful, because he even at one point he looks down and it's at 1334 I have here. 1334, he looks down at a soldier screaming, but just before he looks down, you can hear it, and that's why he looks. And then it comes, the sound of the soldier screaming in pain comes into focus on the screen. Like, it pans to the screen, and then he looks up, and then the soldier that's looking at this, he looks up, and the soldier that was on the ground now pans down and away down to the right. And it, all the sound follows very appropriately, very accurately placed to the screaming soldier. And it gives you that real sense of coming up the beach and getting to that first dune there for protection. And it just really, really powerful, really puts you into this scene. Really does. At 14 minutes or so is when we have the dialogue on that dune where, so we have Tom Hanks, he's there, Tom Sizemore, Vin Diesel is there. And all of the sound, all of their dialogue is appropriately placed to where they are on the screen. So Tom Hanks is mostly center to the left, and he's talking to the radio guy, which is to the left side of your screen, who eventually gets killed. And you have Tom Sizemore, he's way off to the right, and they're yelling back and forth to each other. And as Tom Sizemore, he makes his way over. This is all throughout this scene, but pay attention to the dialogue and the location of the voices. It's very accurately placed. Even, like I said, Vin Diesel's in this scene, and he's way off to the right, and he starts yelling some instructions or what they need to, what he's needs to do. And that's what further off to the right. So not only is it nice, like off scene or off to the right, but it's like if you're three quarters to the right, that's where the voice is placed. So they did a really good job with that. And then they all start yelling, Wade, Wade, because Wade's the medic, which is Giovanni Ribisi. So they need to get him into the group. And they're like, get him off the beach, get him off the beach. So they go to the shot at 1534 of Giovanni Ribisi, and he's stopping the bleeding on a wounded warrior down on the beach. And he's like, we stopped the bleeding. Clang. And that the soldier that they were working on took a bullet to the head, right through the helmet. And that clang is so clear. It's not loud, but it is definitely clear with everything going on. And that just sends Giovanni Ribisi into this, like, he worked so hard to stop the bleeding. He yelled it twice. We stopped the bleeding. We've stopped the bleeding. All right. Like, they saved him. Then he takes a bullet to the head. And the frustration, this is a scene within a scene within a scene of just Giovanni Ribisi's frustration and the frustration of what is going on. And there were like three or four medics, Giovanni Ribisi being one of them, working on this guy. Any one of them could have been next, gone, or all at the same time, the way the bullets are flying. And just how they depicted that scene right there. So they get Giovanni Ribisi off of that scene. They pull him off of there. They get him up to the dune, and his frustration, and he's like overwhelmed with emotion, and you can hear that. But there isn't time for that. There's no time for that. We have to pan off that this is the way this battle is going. We have to pan off to another scene. So you've got Giovanni Ribisi all like you can hear him huffing and holding back emotion. But it pans off to the right because the camera's panning off to the left because we've got to keep on moving, keep moving forward. That's what this is about. That's what was going on that day. That's what's going on in this scene. They did a great job of bringing us into this. And to give you an idea of the scale, so I'm using 1640, but it's throughout this entire thing. But check out at 1640, the crazy low-end sounds just booming away underneath all of this chaos. And it's the dialogue is clear to organize all it for them to organize and move in because they're going to have to go underneath. And we'll get to that in a minute. They got to get underneath the bunker and everything. But there's a crazy deep rumble that really adds to the depth and the scope of this entire scene. So it's kind of like a version of audible perspective. So when you would want to do a drawing and you want to do a perspective, create perspective in a drawing. You say you drew one person and you drew him really small. Well, you have no perspective because he's just a single person on a page, little stick figure, right? Draw a big stick figure next to him. And now it looks like that little one maybe is further away. And then if you draw a line to it and you create that depth of field perspective, you can do the same thing with sound. What you do is you take away, you make the sound maybe a little sound a little smaller by taking away detail, muffling it a little bit. And that's what's going on throughout this entire scene. So if you just had all these nice sharp explosions going on and the bullets flying around dum-dum, all around you, very sharp, very distinct. If you just had that, it would feel like it was a smaller battle, like it was right there. But the depth of sound going on here, there's bass rumbles going on, giving you the sense that there are explosions going on miles away. There are bullets, sounds of bullets landing that are further away. Listen to the detail in the lack of detail in some of the sounds, giving you that sense of this one here just landed right next to my ear. This one landed a ways away, and listen to the ground rumble underneath you. All the while letting you know that stuff is going on for a great distance. And it really, I mean, that gives you not just visually seeing what's going on, because we're focused in on this small group, Tom Hanks's group, Tom Sizemore's group. We're focused in on that. But this was a giant battle going on in the beach. And instead of shooting that entire thing, they gave it to you with the sound. And it really, I mean, it's it's really well done, really impressive. And pay attention throughout. You'll hear it at different times. It gets louder. I mean, like I said, it's not just a single bass rumble. It's variable, boom, 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 like a thunderstorm coming from a distance. Only this isn't a thunderstorm. Let's go to, oh, also, the picture has a different effect too going on too. There's different different levels of detail. There's some blooming going on towards the end. I'll talk about it a little more because it's really evident there towards the end of the scene. But check out some scenes. There, different scenes have like, it's almost like you're looking through like watery eyes or foggy eyes, visual chaos, if you will. Things aren't perfectly clear, but then you'll jump to a scene where everything is perfectly clear. Just like I said earlier, you look at the water and how crystal, like how the contrast between the water and the foam in the water, and then it turns into bloody water. All of that is very clear. But then there's parts where things are blended together, where the light and the darkness, they kind of blend a little bit, kind of like if you were looking through with watery eyes or like something splashed you in the eyes. Really cool there too, how they did that. At 1910, they're pinned down. This is where they've gotten up against a wall and they've got to look around the wall with a mirror, and their turret's nest is firing at them. And at 1910, the turret's nest fires straight at you. The gunfire here, while they devise their plan to take out that nest, the gunfire heavy, heavy on the right. Every time they pop out to shoot back, the sound gets louder and more centered, which is really, really nicely done. Like, gives you that great sense. Like, okay, you actually feel a little protected when you're down there with Tom Hanks and you're working out the plan. And then they pop out and then the bullets start whizzing by you, giving you a great sense of protection and then not so protected. Still getting the heavy bass and the distant sounds. Like I said, strong, heavy gunfire as they chase Jackson, who's the sniper. They chase him. So Tom Hanks, he ducks out and he goes, "Hey, look at me." And then they fire at him. He ducks down. But Jackson's the sniper. I believe it was Jackson. It was his name. He goes running, but the gunfire as it hits the ground as he's running is really, really distinct. And then at 21:40, which is kind of almost a symbolic end of this. It's not the end of it, but it's almost like here it is. It's like the shot heard around the world for this scene in particular. So Jackson takes the shot and it is at 21:40. It is so loud and so clear. It's almost like everything else stopped. All the other sounds stop, and they actually do. Check that out. All the other ambient sounds going on, all the other gunfire, all the other explosions. You see the actor playing Jackson. He says like quick prayer or something, like I can't remember what it was. I don't want to ruin it, but he says something. Then he pulls the trigger and you get that really deep bass and that subsequent ring of silence after the shot. Everything else goes away. And then the sound and the chaos of the battle goes quickly, comes back. But for that split second, you had just silence as he takes that shot. And from there, we go very quickly to soldiers saying they're getting their last rites. You got soldiers praying, all the shots on the beach. And that's why it was like, I feel like that was where they rushed in and everything. More deep gunshots, distinct gunfire, entire room is engaged with sound. But that's why I think that one shot is almost like the symbolic, like, haha, we broke through. That's the symbolic end of this. But then, of course, at 23:16, we get the bunker. They throw a grenade. Now the trenches are there. They throw a grenade over into the trench. And the debris from the explosion is deep and visceral to begin with. I mean, I felt that explosion in my chest. But the pieces of concrete that come up out of the bunker area, out of the trench, I felt like I heard it land over my left shoulder on my, I have shelving behind me with, you know, memorabilia on it. I felt like a piece of concrete landed on it. It sounded so clear. I look over my shoulders, and it was right after, like, you see all the debris go up in the air, and then it's gone, and then you hear it landing behind you, which was, that was pretty cool. The battle continues as they blow out the bunker with a flamethrower. We get really, really cool base there. Just a big whoosh, very bright image of the flames coming out the sides. You can hear the dialogue of the soldiers saying, don't shoot, let them burn. It just really awful scenes, great scenes, but it's just so difficult to watch. And the exchange of the gunfire as the Allied troops take over the Germans, more just so much distinct gunfire, to the point that, like, if you're looking at a soldier and he's firing at something, like, you're looking at him head on, so he's firing past you. His rifle sounds so clear, so distinct, but then you can hear what he's firing at, because off in the distance behind you, you can hear what he's the soldier that he's firing at is firing back, to the point that sometimes it goes away, so you know he hit him. It just awful. But awesome. Check out the picture. This is what I was talking about earlier about, like, the watery eyes idea. This is where at 25:19, check this out. You'll see that what I'm talking about is really evident. So things have calmed down in the scene. They're taking over. Tom Sizemore has said, hold fire, hold fire. They've taken over the bunkers. They're occupying the trenches now. They've got everything going here. They're settling down. But watch the scenes around. There's still some gun, you know, residual gunfire going on around you. But it's they keep popping back and forth between crystal clear, nice, you know, HDR going on. And the HDR playing into this here is really evident, because you'll see fires in the background. And at 25:19, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll see the fires in the background, but they're stretching to the sky. So this is what I'm talking about, where they're blooming the picture. And it happens way earlier than this too, but this is where it's really evident, because you have those bright fires going. But also check out the, like, it's like fence posts. They're dark fence posts. Check those out too, because those are also being stretched to the sky, but they're dark. So you'll get a dark stripe going off the top of them. So your entire screen is being, the light is, like, it's stretching from top to bottom. Really cool effect, because I feel like that's something that I didn't notice on the Blu-ray before. I noticed the fires before, but I didn't notice how much detail there was and how much blooming was going on. But I thought that was a really cool way to bring you in and give you like the visual of a soldier, like, just trying to take all this in and how it's blending. And it's got to be, you know, whether it's tears in your eyes from surviving, whether it's tears in your eyes from what you've lost, whether it's debris in your eyes and your eyes are watering, whatever is going on, it really is, you know, giving you that sense. And then on top of that, they're flipping back to just crystal clear. So it goes back and forth here and there, depending on where the shot is at the time. As for the action in this scene, this is the one of the most difficult scenes I've ever had to break down. We love our theaters because they offer us an escape from reality, a place where we go to have fun, enjoy the technology of and the artwork of picture and sound. You know, like, I mean, I love, like, getting it. We all love to tinker. We love to deal, you know, upgrade our stuff. But so we love our theaters for that. But when we sit down, it's an escape. But every now and then we're given something that crosses over and it checks all the boxes. And this is one of those scenes. This is one of those movies. It's like, really, from this scene on out that's the fiction. But this scene that I just broke down is not fiction. So it takes something that actually happened and reenacts it in a way that, in most movies, if this was fiction, we'd be talking about how cool this was. And I have a hard time, as you could tell, I've had a hard time breaking that down. It's like, it's tough. And it's like, to think people went through this, and it's like, I just hope I did this scene justice. I'm like, 77 years ago, you know, people died, and it's really tough for me to call it entertainment, but I can call it art. Art is supposed to stir emotion, and this certainly does for me. Happy birthday, Ryan. Thank you for the suggestion of Saving Private Ryan. And thank you to all those that serve, have served, and the ones we've lost. I'll be back next week.